Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
In this episode of the Football History Headlines on the Best of the Pigskin Dispatch, we discuss Super Bowls 14 and 19 and some awesome conference championship games, as well as many more Hall of Fame legendary birthdays and stories. All this and more coming up in one moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And we are going to talk about the January 20th gridiron history in our football history headlines today. And let's get started all the way back in 1950 at the Bellevue Stratford Hotel in Philadelphia. The Detroit Lions picked Leon Hart from the University of Notre Dame with the first pick of the 1950 NFL draft. The interesting thing about this draft class was that not one player in the top 10 picks had become Hall of Famers at this time of this podcast for the ProFootballReference.com website. San Francisco's pick of Leo Nomolini at number 11 is where we see the first of this draft class to make the Pro Football Hall of Fame. The only other Hall member from this draft to make the Hall of Fame was Ernie Stotner as the 22nd overall pick by Pittsburgh. January 20th, 1974, at Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City, Missouri, at the 24th NFL Pro Bowl, it was a game for the lovers of good defenses to witness as the AFC held on against the NFC 15-13. The coaches of the teams were John Madden for the AFC against the strategies of the Cowboys' Tom Landry. According to the American Football Database, Miami kicker Garo Yepremian was the most valuable player in the contest as he scored all of the AFC's points in his 5 successful field goals, which is still a Pro Bowl record. It's interesting to note that the victors each received $2,000, while each member of the losing team put $1,500 in the bank. January 20th, 1975, at Miami's Orange Bowl, the coaches at the 25th NFL Pro Bowl were John Madden of the AFC's Raiders and Chuck Knox of the LA Rams, according to the VictoriaAdvocate.com website. The Pro Bowl was still an important game back then, as even the Monday Night Football crew was there to carry it live on ABC. The game was Larry Zonka's 5th and final Pro Bowl game that he played in. The outcome of the contest had the NFC squad of stars edging out their AFC counterparts 17-10. The game's MVP was James Harris, the quarterback of the Los Angeles Rams. January 20th, 1980, the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, California. Super Bowl 14 was billed as Tinseltown versus the Steel City, as the Los Angeles Rams would face the defending champs, the Pittsburgh Steelers. A Washington Post article from the day after the game provides the details. The Steelers entered the game as 11-point favorites, and they covered that spread, but the game was not an easy one for them by any means. A timely interception by Jack Lambert, spectacular catches by Lynn Swann and John Stallworth, and a near-record passing performance from Terry Bradshaw were all needed to overcome the Rams. The LA defense put the blonde bomber under pressure all game and picked off 3 of his passes, but he shrugged off those and entertained the crowd of over 103,000 packed into the Rose Bowl to watch a fourth quarter surge by the Steelers. Pittsburgh was in fact trailing 19-17 early in the fourth before Stallworth scored on by reeling in a 73-yard bomb early in the fourth stanza to erase a 19-17 Rams lead. Then Stallworth somehow gathered in a 45-yarder in the midst of 3 Ram defenders with 3 minutes left to set up a Franco Harris 1-yard plunge to ice the game. The Pittsburgh Steelers retained their world championship with a 31-19 victory over the LA Rams. Terry Bradshaw was named as the game's MVP. January 20th, 1985, at Stanford Stadium in Stanford, California. At Super Bowl 19, the San Francisco 49ers knocked off the Miami Dolphins 38-16. According to the 49ersWebZone.com website, they described the game as a one-sided affair where a young Dan Marino and the Dolphins found themselves vastly overmatched against a guy named Joe Montana and a stiff 49ers defense. The 49ers defense played exceptionally well as they had all but silenced the hot hand of Dan Marino and made the high-powered Dolphin offense look quite pedestrian. Joe Montana threw for 331 yards and three scores as he earned the Most Valuable Player award in the 49ers victory. Now let's go on a run of talking about some great conference championship games that led teams to the Super Bowl. We'll start off on January 20th, 1991 at Rich Stadium in Orchard Park, New York. The AFC championship game for the 1990 season culminated in the Buffalo Bills blasting the Los Angeles Raiders 51-3. Bills quarterback Jim Kelly threw for 300 yards and two TDs, and his favorite target was James Lofton, who caught five balls for 113 and a score, and Thurman Thomas rushed for a touchdown as part of his 138 yards on the ground. That same day in 1991 at Candlestick Park in San Francisco, there was only one touchdown scored in the NFC Championship game for the 1990 season, and it was by the team that ended up on the losing side. I know that doesn't sound right to hear, but Joe Montana's 61-yard scoring strike to wide receiver John Taylor in the third quarter was the only time either team crossed the goal line for the ProFootballReference.com. Matt Barr of the Giants had an active day as he kicked five field goals to supply all of the Giants' points as they beat the San Francisco 49ers 15-13. January 20th, 2008, Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. The New England Patriots defeated the San Diego Chargers 21-12 in the AFC Championship game. According to the ProFootballReference.com, Tom Brady tossed two touchdown passes and Lawrence Maroney rushed in another one to power the scoring for the Patriots to advance them to Super Bowl 42 with an unblemished 18-0 record. That same day in 2008, Lambeau Field, Green Bay, Wisconsin. The NFC Championship game was a great quarterback matchup as Eli Manning and his Giants would run their offense and go against Brett Favre and his offense with the Packers, according to the ProFootballReference.com. Favre got the better of the quarterback battle as he passed for 236 yards and two touchdowns, but his two picks were costly as the New York Giants beat the Green Bay Packers 23-20 in overtime to earn the right to face the Patriots in Super Bowl 42. January 20th, 2013, another game at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. In the 2012 season's AFC Championship tilt, it was the Baltimore Ravens who more than doubled up the New England Patriots by the score of 28-13. Tom Brady threw for a solid 320 yards against a tough Ravens defense, but with just one touchdown and having two passes intercepted, it was upstaged by the three scoring passes by Joe Flacco, who kept the ball out of the defender's hands for the ProFootballReference.com to advance them to Super Bowl 47. And who would their opponents be? Well, that game was determined on January 20, 2013 at the Georgia Dome in Atlanta. What a game the NFC Championship game was. The Pro Football Reference website shows that after Atlanta held a 24-14 advantage at the half, the Niners played stingy defense and a second half of Frank Gore pounding the ball across the goal line twice to lift the San Francisco 49ers to a 28-14 victory over Atlanta to advance to the Super Bowl 47 against the Ravens in the Harbaugh Bowl. We'll discuss that game more on February 3rd. Next comes our spotlight game, one of the biggest calls in football history. January 20th, 2019, at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome in New Orleans. At the NFC Championship game, according to the ProFootballReference.com, it was the Los Angeles Rams who outlasted the New Orleans Saints 26-23 in overtime. The infamous pass interference no-call stunned the NFL fan base. According to the article on the Ringer.com website, with less than 2 minutes remaining in the game and the score tied at 20, the Saints were well within field goal range at the Rams' 13-yard line. 3 plays later, the Saints faced a 3rd and 10. A conversion would have meant they'd be able to work the clock to mere seconds and attempt a chip shot field goal that would have basically punched their tickets to the Super Bowl. Drew Brees dropped back and looked for a receiver, Tommy Lee Lewis, but the wideout got basically destroyed by the Rams quarterback, Nickel Roby Coleman, prior to the balls getting to him. No yellow laundry was tossed on the field, so the Saints were forced to kick earlier than they should have and had left the Rams 1:41 left on the clock to mount a comeback. and the Rams did that as they kicked the tying score in regulation and the game winner in overtime to have the opportunity to go to Super Bowl 53. The winner of the next game we're going to talk about is who their opponents would be in Super Bowl 53. January 20th, 2019 at Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City. What a game and what storylines it had. The main one being the greatest quarterback of all time in Tom Brady, leading his team against the new gunslinger in town, the NFL's Patrick Mahomes, who played for the Kansas City Chiefs. They had each brought their bright spots into the contest, but none was any bigger than Mahomes putting the Chiefs on his back and scoring 24 points in the fourth quarter, including a game-tying field goal drive with just 8 seconds left in regulation for the ProFootballReference.com. It was Brady and the Patriots, though, that had a drive of their own in the extra session and finished the game with a 2-yard Rex Burkhead touchdown. The New England Patriots outlasted the Kansas City Chiefs in overtime 37-31 so that they could face the Rams in Super Bowl 53. Now, as always, we want to talk about our Hall of Fame legends that have birthdays this day. Today, remarkably, we have but one. January 20th, 1960, Pine Bluff, Arkansas. The talented wide receiver from the University of Central Arkansas, Ronnie Mallett, was born. According to his bio on the NFF's website, Mallett earned first-team NAIA All-America honors from 1979 through 1981, the first in school history to achieve the distinction 3 times. Ronnie still holds many receiving records at the school, including his single-game 242 yards receiving, his 30 career touchdown receptions, and her career receiving yards at 2,649. The National Football Foundation selected Ronnie Mallett to enter into their College Football Hall of Fame in 2006, and he became the first player from Central Arkansas to ever be inducted in the Great Museum of College Gridiron Legends. We hope you enjoyed this great podcast today, because we sure enjoyed bringing the news to you and sharing this football history, because it was a great day. And we have many more coming up here, and especially we want to make you aware of that 2 weeks from now, right around the February 8th period, right after the Super Bowl, we're going to start 100 days of going through all the jersey numbers of all the great players, especially in the NFL, and we'll bring some college ones in too, but we're going to go into some more interview formats where we'll talk to some experts on it, including Bill Schaefer of the Gridiron Uniform Database and Upton Bell of Great Legacy and his family. And we'll also get a lot of our fellow podcasters on the Sports History Network. So make sure you don't miss tomorrow's episode for January 21st, and don't miss these episodes coming up for the next 100 days or so, because we're going to have some great things to talk about and talk to some really legends of the game and some great football historians, including many of our own podcasters here in the Sports History Network. So join us by going to the sportshistorynetwork.com and clicking the podcast there, or you can go to pigskindispatch.com and find every one of our episodes there, and you can hit the subscribe button, or just go to your favorite podcast provider and say, hey, I want to subscribe to this podcast, and check out some of my partners on the Sports History Network's podcast too, because they have some excellent guests and their personalities are just out of this world too by the hosts. So make sure you check it out, sportshistorynetwork.com, pigskindispatch.com. Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. A special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Guardian newspaper circa 1924. But for Marla Delft, assistant editor, everything was about to change. For she was about to discover the awesome attractiveness of Row One brand retro sports paraphernalia items, thanks to Orville Mulligan, sports writer.
And there it is. Wow, Orville, that's really the bee's knees.
Isn't it just? A poster-sized replica of the actual 1909 World Series program cover.
I can see that. But where did you get it? And where'd you get it framed?
I ordered it from the Row One website, where over 6,000 items of sports memorabilia from the 1880s to the 1990s are available for reproduction in multiple sizes and in several different materials, with over a dozen styles of frame to choose from for prints like this.
Well, I'm sure Mr. Delft would love to put up more of these in the office. But I'm equally as sure they're beyond this newspaper's budget.
Not at all, my dear Marla. See for yourself. Go to sportshistorynetwork.com/row1.
sportshistorynetwork.com/row1. Oh my, these are good prices. Oh, and look at this stuff. Oklahoma-Nebraska football, college basketball art, Michael Jordan items.
And so it was that Marla Delft discovered the splendiferous magic of Row One sports memorabilia arts and prints. You can too by visiting sportshistorynetwork.com/row1. That's ROW1 today for access to the full Row One catalog of gallery prints and gifts like t-shirts, long sleeve shirts, telephone cases, coffee mugs, blankets, pillows, towels, and even shower curtains. Act today for 15% discount off all prints with coupon code SHN15 and 20% off all other items with coupon code SHN20 at checkout. And keep your dial locked to the Sports History Network for the exciting chronicles of the 1920 sports world in Orville Mulligan, sports writer, coming soon.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that, Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts. It's found right here on the Sports History Network.